Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of Sovereign Grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I want to talk to you for just a minute this morning, and I want to tell you something about this thing of religion, this thing of going to church, being saved, believing what we know to be called the gospel. There is a sad problem in the world today, and that problem is how far we have gotten away from the Word of God. So far from God's actual Word. I've seen posts on the internet. I've seen different postings by people on different websites where they'll put up a motivational saying or something like that, something that sounds good, something that makes you feel good, something that warms the heart. And then they'll give a scripture at the bottom of it, as though that's what God said in that scripture. And you can turn to that scripture and read it, and you can clearly see that's not what God said. Not at all. They've taken what He said and they twisted it to sound better, sound a little more motivational. And the sad thing is men and women believe it. They see these things on there and you know, some nice saying, some kind saying, and then it'll say, you know, Proverbs something after that, or Jeremiah something after that, and they'll believe, I know what God said in the book of Proverbs, or I know what God said in the book of Jeremiah, and they cling to it, thinking they're trusting the true and living God, when in reality, they're just trusting something that a sinful man said. Somebody made it up. And they're holding to it. That's their hope. Our Lord said, that's the blind leading the blind. Isn't that what He said? That's the blind leading the blind. Moses wrote, oh, that they were wise. Oh, that they were wise. That they understood this. I want to be wise, don't you? I want to understand what God has written in His Word concerning our eternal souls, concerning our standing before Him. We're going to go stand before Him. I believe we would be wise to find out what He has to say about our standing before Him. And like Moses said, that they were wise, that they would consider their latter end. Consider these things. There's only one truth. And that's the truth. There is only one truth. It's always that way. Whatever happens, there's one truth in the matter. And when it comes to this thing of religion, going to church, there are thousands of denominations out there. But there's only one truth. There's only one truth. Does that not hit you like it hits me? If there's only one truth and there's 1,000 denominations, that means 999 of them are wrong. Isn't that right? How can we know which one is God's truth? Well, we can know it right here. The truth is the Word of God. God gave us the truth. So, What I want us to do this morning is I want us to open God's Word together. I don't want us to look at something that some man has posted. I want us to open God's Word. And let's see what He has to say in it. I believe we would be wise if we would do this and beg Him to give us a mind and a heart to understand these things and cause us to consider our latter end. So if you have a Bible, let's get it together and open to the book of Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. And let me tell you what's going on in this chapter of this book, so it will set up what Paul is about to say. Paul is in prison, and he is waiting for his accusers to come. He's about to be put on trial, and they're going to accuse him of some things. They're going to accuse him of profaning their temple, which he didn't do. He was worshiping God, and they just did not like the God that he worshiped. But they accused him of profaning the temple, and they accused him of being the ringleader of a sect, they called it. A cult. They called true worship a cult. And they gave him a great compliment by saying, this man's a ringleader. Of everybody who's trying to point men to Christ, this guy is the ringleader of them all. No one is more fervent. No one is more pressing. He's given his all to this. And Paul answered them. He answered in his defense by saying, I was not disputing with anybody in the temple. I was not raising up the people, he said, creating an uproar. They're all telling lies. That's what he said. They're all telling lies. But he said, I will tell you right now the truth. I'll tell you the truth. Now, verse 14 in Acts 24, Paul said, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. He said, after the way that they call heresy, they're calling it division. Well, he's just trying to divide us. They're calling it a rebellion. They're calling it a cult. After the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. The way that they hate, the way that is so offensive to them, the way that they do not believe, the way that they say, that just can't be right. That cannot be the truth. I've never heard anybody say that. He said, that's the way I worship the God of my fathers. Now, what he's saying is, true worship, the worship of the true God from the true Word is different. That's what he's saying. There's a difference. You can't just go in and find it anywhere. There's a difference. It's not like mainstream religion. And this is what I want to stress this morning. True worship of the true and living God. Worship that comes straight from God's true Word is different. There's a difference. It's actually nothing like mainstream religion. Nothing like it at all. Verse 14, he said, this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Now, I don't mean to be a personal offense to anyone. That's not my desire at all. I don't want to personally offend anyone. But I believe I can right now say this morning with the Apostle Paul that my heart's desire and prayer to God, he said for Israel, I say for Kingsport. I say for Kingsport, I say for Johnson City, I say for Bristol, wherever you are right now. My heart's desire and prayer to God is that we all might be saved, me and you. And the only way that salvation will come to a sinner, and that's what I am, and that's what you are. We're sinners. And the only way salvation will come to a sinner is if God confronts him with the truth. So by God's grace, if he will enable me to, I want to tell you the truth this morning. I deeply want to tell you the truth. I promise you from God's word, you're about to hear the truth. And I say that because we're about to see it in God's word. I don't say it because I'm saying it. I say that because God is saying it. We're about to see in God's word what the truth is concerning worship, concerning the gospel, concerning God. Now, let me tell you how true believers and true worshipers are different. Number one, true followers of Christ believe everything God has written in His Word. Everything. We don't take the parts we like and leave the parts we don't like. We don't let the doctrine, we don't let the tradition of our denomination overrule the doctrine of Christ. That's what the Scripture calls this Word of God, the doctrine of Christ. We don't let what has been passed down to us overrule what God has to say in this Word. I would believe that, but I've been told all my life that this is how it is over here, so I better stick to that. No, no. We believe all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Now, please listen to me on this. Every denomination will say the exact same thing. Every one of them. You go ask any man or any woman who is a church-going person. You walk into any church, anywhere, and you ask them, do you hold to the Word of God? Do you believe all of the Bible? Do you preach the Scriptures? They'll say, oh, yes. Yes, we do. We preach the Word. We believe the Word. We're holding to the Word. Everything our pastor preaches is right out of the Bible. Right out of the Bible. That's what they'll say. But here's the truth of the matter. I say this with a sad heart. Most poor, unfortunate souls are not taught the Word. And they have no idea what is actually in the Word. And I'm talking about the preachers standing up behind the pulpits. They were never taught it. They don't know it. They're not preaching it. And I say that as the Apostle Paul said, who maketh any man to differ? We're talking about this difference. Who makes this difference? Are we proud because we might know what God has to say in His Word? No, no. Everything that a child of God is, he's only that by the grace of God. It's only because God chose to open his mind, open his eyes, open his heart, put life in his soul, faith in him. So the grace of God is the only thing that makes the difference. But that right there is where God's children truly are different. God, in mercy and in grace, opens the eyes of His people, and He reveals His Word to them. He reveals the truth to them. In spite of what every other man or denomination or anyone might believe or might preach or might say, in spite of what my father might say, my mother might say, my grandparents might say, God puts the truth in a sinner. And that's the difference. If you'll look with me at Romans 7, I want to show you something. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 7. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, the man that God used to write over half the New Testament. He says in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not, I know not. I don't know why I do it. The things that I do, I don't know why I do them." He said, "For what I would, that I do not. For what I wish I did, I don't do it." He said, "But what I hate, what I absolutely hate about myself, the things that I wish I would not do, that's exactly what I do." Verse 16, he said, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good." I know the law's good. I know what the law says, and I acknowledge it's good, and I wish I did it. Verse 17, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." He said, sin is holding me captive. Sin has overtaken me. Sin is overruling me. And I can't overcome it. I've tried, but I cannot overcome it. The sin that's in my own sin, it's my sin. It causes me to do everything I hate, and it will not let me do all the things I love. Verse 18, he said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Don't let anyone fool you into thinking that there are good people on this earth and bad people on this earth. Our Lord said, "There is none good." God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand and seek Him, and He said, there's none. None. No, not one. None good. That rich young ruler came and said, "Good master," he said, "why do you call me good? There's none good but one, and that's God." That's God. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, right here in verse 18, he said, "I know that in my flesh dwells no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." I just cannot. I cannot see how to do it. Verse 20, he said, "Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another man. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Who? Now let me ask you this question. How could I read that? How could I read and understand what the Apostle Paul just said and then claim before God and men that I have a free will? How could I do that? Didn't we hear what Paul just said? He said, "I want to, but I can't. And the things that I would love to stop doing, I can't." understanding that, you and I would have to have a blind eye to the Word of God to believe that we have a free will, wouldn't we? We would have to be totally blind to the Word of God to believe we have a free will. Over in Romans 9, verse 15 says, "For he saith to Moses," God said to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." How could I read that, understand what was just said, and then stand up and preach that man has a free will? How could I do that? Over in John chapter 5, our Lord said, "You will not come to me that you might have life." Will not. You know what he's saying there? He's saying the only thing you will do is not come to me. That's it. Man's will is bound. It's bound to sin and rebellion. Man does have a will, but it's bound. It's not free. Not at all. Over in Matthew chapter 6, if you're turning with me, look at Matthew chapter 6. Our Lord said in verse 9, Matthew 6 verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now, that's what God said that we need to do when we pray. He said, after this manner, this is how you need to pray. He said, "Our Father." How could I read that? How could you read that? Understand it. And how could I get on my knees after that and say, "Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed art thou among women, Holy Mary, Mother of God." How could I do that? Just based on what God's Word says. Back over in Romans chapter 9, you know, most people will say they don't believe in election. They talk about these doctrinal issues, and I don't believe that. No, not at all. Sure don't believe in election. Back in Romans 9, verse 11 said, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." How could I read that and not believe in God's election? How? You know, people say, well, God cast a vote for you and the devil cast a vote against you and you decide. No, we just read out of this verse, it's not of him that willeth. You don't decide. I don't decide. Not at all. 1 Thessalonians 1 says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." Some form of that word is in this Bible 27 times. But people say, well, I just don't believe it. I don't believe in election. Well, that's where we differ. That's where we differ. Over in John 17, verse 6, our Lord said, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." Verse 9, he said, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." How could I read that and understand what our Lord just said, and then stand up before men and women and tell the lie that Jesus Christ came into the world to save every soul on earth? How could I do that? And we could go on and on with this. We could go on and on. Every belief that every denomination holds to, we could seek it in God's Word and find out the truth of the matter. And that's what God's people will do. The first thing that sets true believers apart from the world of religion is they believe all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And they don't twist them. They don't wrestle with them. They don't change them. They don't add anything to them. They don't take anything away from them. They just believe them. They just believe them. Now, quickly, here's the second thing. Back over in Acts chapter 24, Paul said in verse 14, "This I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust." Here is what separates the heart of a true believer from the heart of every other denomination on earth, every heart of religion. A true believer hopes in one thing only. It's not in the Virgin Mary. It's not in a family tree that we can trace all the way back. It's not in ourselves to make any kind of final decision or do any good deed in order to secure our salvation. Every ounce of a believer's hope is in God. Every ounce of it. As we read this word and we believe this word, we see that we are so low. So low. I'll tell you how low this word declares us to be. 6 feet under. 6 feet under. Dead, sinful, vile, wretched. All of us, starting with me, all of us. Somebody will say, "Well, not me. Don't you call me a sinner." Well, I'll tell you what the word says. 1 John 1:10 says, "If a man says he has no sin, he makes God a liar." That's pretty wretched, isn't it? To call God a liar? This word exposes the truth about us. Low. We're low. As we read this word, though, we see how high and mighty and powerful Christ is. We see our absolute inability. We see His infinite sufficiency and ability. And this is what a believer will realize. If He did not in mercy choose to shed His blood on us, we would have no hope. We would have no hope. All of our hope is in God. True believers bow to God Almighty. True believers believe His word. And true believers ascribe all the praise and all the glory to Him alone. For kindly, lovingly, freely giving salvation to them through the shedding of His own blood. Now the world calls that heresy. The world wants to attach some work to that. They want to add something to it. And they call that heresy. But do you know what God's sheep call it? Worship. They call it worship. We're so sinful, but He chose us. He died for us. He called us, and He'll keep us. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.